You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the kid counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a master class in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, I'm answering a question from Chloe in Georgia, and her question is about clients and families being a good fit and what that looks like, how to assess that, what tips and tricks and strategies we implement. And so I'm happy to dive into this. We'll read a little bit of the email together and then we'll get going. My questions are pertaining to a client being a good fit. In a recent episode, you briefly mentioned this, and I'm wondering if you could elaborate on what is helpful in determining if a client is not a good fit for CCPT or the therapist-client match. Does your center have a screening process for incoming referrals to determine this? How far into the process is it appropriate to determine goodness of fit, determining resistance or appropriateness, and how do you address this, and what does your process for referring out look like? All right, Chloe, thank you for the questions, and I think this is actually really helpful for us to talk about. I talked a little bit about this in Virginia last weekend as well. So I think first and foremost, let me be really clear, because your first part of your first question is what is helpful in determining if a client is not a good fit for CCPT. CCPT is a fit for every client. And I'm not saying that because I love it. I'm not saying that because I'm so sold on the model. I'm saying it because we have evidence-based support and empirical validation that CCPT works with every kid, with every scenario, with everything. Every consideration you can think of, CCPT has been proven effective. Obviously, the process looks different for certain children. Neurodivergent kids, it takes longer. Anxious kids, the early stages take a longer time. There are things that change based on the child and the scenario. But CCPT is a good fit for every single kid. As far as the therapist-client match goes, that is also not something that we would need to consider. Because if the therapist is fully adherent to the model and the therapist is fully trusting of the process, every therapist-client relationship can be formed and we will have the success that we're hoping for. So even the client-therapist match is not necessarily a consideration either. But all of these other questions I think are absolutely worth diving into. So do we have a screening process for incoming referrals? Well, sort of. So when the calls come in, Maya answers the phone and she has scripts that she uses to get information from them and then help them understand what to expect and what the next steps are. So typically what happens is the client calls and Maya's first question, actually, it's a statement because we don't ask questions. That's a general rule. But the statement is, I wonder if you can tell me more about what's going on. And at that point, the parent is able to fill us in on age, presenting issues, concerns, history, whatever. And the only thing that we would, what you mentioned as vet over that phone call, would be if the parent starts asking questions or wondering if we're able to provide services that we are not able to provide, do things we're not able to do, or in some way have a different theoretical model. So for example, if a parent says, do you accept insurance? That might not be a good fit because we're self-pay. If a parent says, how long is this going to take? We only have 9 weeks before school starts. If they expect this to miraculously solve every problem that they have in 9 weeks, it's probably not a good fit. If they tell us that they want us to talk to their children about what's going on, or they want us to do worksheets or activities with their children, it's not a good fit. If they hint that they want us to testify in court, and the reason why they're having us start with their child is so that we can serve as an expert witness at an upcoming trial, not a good fit. So anything like that that comes up on the initial phone call, Maya is likely to address that. So she's probably going to say something like, at our center, and then give them the policies and what we will and will not do. I'm wondering if you're willing to set up an initial consultation where you can find out more about our center, or we could provide you with referrals if you want someone that might be more along the lines of what you're seeking. So for example, if they really want a therapist to go in and testify, there are therapists that happily work with the courts. If they want someone who is going to provide directive activities, although I don't think that that's helpful, we know of play therapists that are more directive than we are. So the vetting process in that initial phone call is typically what the client presents. And if it does not align at all with our center's policies and/or we're not able to do what they're asking for, another scenario is if they ask us to diagnose, they want us to evaluate and diagnose. We won't do that. So those are scenarios where we would immediately say, I'm not sure that this is the most helpful fit, but we can refer you to some other people. Now, in the initial parent consultation, there's an extra layer of vetting. So we ask parents to watch a video before they come. And that's one of the ways that we do a little bit of a check-in to find out investment and commitment and buy-in. Because if the expectation is that you watch a 20-minute video before you come and meet with us, and they show up and they haven't watched the video, that's a huge red flag. Because we're asking you to commit to 30 to 40 weeks of therapy, because that's the national average. And if you're not invested and committed enough to watch a 20-minute video, I'm not sure that you're going to be committed and invested enough to go 30 to 40 weeks. So that's a discussion that we have. And so really, it's about making sure that expectations are really clear. I think often, once expectations are clearly spelled out on both sides, what are the parents' expectations? What are our expectations as clinicians and as a center? If we can find common ground and we can agree that we're all on the same page, then it's an appropriate fit. If there's a hangup somewhere, you know, I will not diagnose, I will not evaluate, I will not do a directive activity, I will not talk to your child about their problems at school. If we can't get over whatever that issue is, then we will refer. It's clearly not the fit that they want or need. Not that CCPT wouldn't help, and not that I don't desperately want to be able to help that child. But if we can't agree with the process moving forward, then clearly it's not going to be the right fit. And if we were to move forward, one of two things is going to happen. We're going to be conceding, or the parent is going to be conceding, and that ends up causing resentment and frustration. So that's option number one. Option number two is there's going to be attrition because eventually the client's going to bail because needs aren't being met, or tension gets too high, or expectations haven't been delivered. And then you end up not being able to help that client after you've already built a relationship with them. We would never want to establish a therapeutic relationship with a child and set that child up to be yanked from therapy 8-10 sessions in because it wasn't a fit. And it's not that it's not a fit with the child. It's not a fit with all of the other considerations. So we work really hard to protect that therapeutic relationship, because if we start with a child, we want to finish with a child. And it's about setting clear expectations. It's about having open communication. It's about making sure everyone is on the same page. Everyone is in agreement about what's about to take place. And that preserves the relationship first, but it also preserves the experience for everyone involved. So your final question, how do you address any kind of resistance a little bit further into the process? Well, it all comes back to what was established when you had that first initial parent consult. That's why I spend so much time in the coaching program talking about how to have those initial parent consult, because when you set boundaries, when you set expectations, when there's a system, when there's a process, when you tell appropriate stories, when you give appropriate analogies, when you draw pictures for them to get the process, when things like resistance pop up and all of a sudden a parent's like, I just don't know if this is actually helping. And I don't know that we're going to keep coming. You remind them of what's already been discussed. You remind them of the commitment that they made. You bring them back to the things that you already said were likely going to happen. Remember I said it usually gets worse before it gets better? We're right in the it's worse before it gets better scenario. And there, but there has to be the early conversation for you to fall back on. So often that's that necessary confrontation, communication. You know, you knew that this was not going to be a quick fix. You knew that things were going to get worse before they got better. You knew we were going to hit resistance phase. You knew that there was likely going to be a 30 to 40 week scenario here. This is what we all agreed on. And then you bring them back to the triangle of trust. So I think, Chloe, to kind of wrap up my answers to all of this, it really does go back to having scripts and templates and frameworks when you first communicate with parents. Because every client and every family has to be told the exact same thing in the exact same way at the exact same time. And you have to have it all planned out ahead of time for consistency's sake, for setting expectations' sake, and for making sure that you're setting everyone up to have the most success. You don't want to have a client that you end up saying, oh, this isn't a good fit. The parent doesn't want that. The child doesn't want that. So we have to make sure that everything is very clearly expressed and communicated from the get-go to prevent any kind of frustration or tension later on in the process. So Chloe and Georgia, thank you so much for the question. I really appreciate that. I hope that was helpful to all of you. Don't forget that we have the 3-week Core Wellness CEU program coming up. Core Wellness reached out to me and said that their website is CoreWell, but they are officially Core Wellness. And I know some of you have reached out and been confused because I typically say CoreWell and officially it is Core Wellness. So I'm sorry for that. Please make sure that you know it's Core Wellness is the full name of the company, even though their website is CoreWell. It's shortened for the URL. But just be mindful that I have that 3-week series coming up at the end of March on the 4 pillars. Deep dive advanced core 4 pillars. So if you're interested in that, check that out. You can go to playtherapypodcast.com/4pillars. And I would love to have you there. I know a lot of you have already registered, so I'm really looking forward to hanging out with you for 3 Fridays in a row. That's fun. We'll have the collective call at noon Eastern, and then we'll do a whole bunch of training for 3 Fridays in a row. So looking forward to hanging out with my people. I love y'all. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.